Amen. Amen. The Bible says, my brothers and sisters, in the book of Genesis, chapter 3 and verse 12, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. Verse 13 says, the serpent deceived me and I ate. I was intrigued the other day. There was something about a building that I saw that really caught my eye. There was a lot of graffiti written all over this brick building. I was on the east side of McKinney. There was a variety of messages, and some I choose not to share with you in church this morning. There was a variety of graffiti. There was a variety of things that were written on this brick wall on the east side in McKinney. And among all these different writings and these different sayings and these different gang signs and these different symbols, there was one thing that really stood out to me. And there was in big black bold letters these words: Humpty Dumpty was pushed. Humpty Dumpty was pushed. My brothers and sisters, what we have to realize this morning is blaming others isn't new at all. Blaming other people is not new. It is something that has gone on since time. And I want to talk about it. If y'all just give me a few minutes, I want you to put, amen, give me a reason, not an excuse. Give me a reason, not an excuse, because there's a difference between an excuse and a reason. Are y'all going to pray with me? And then for the urban topic, I want to use for my urban topic, for you young folks, Humpty Dumpty was pushed. Really? With a question mark. Humpty Dumpty was pushed. Blaming others is nothing new. Y'all feel me? All right. When confronted with disobedience in the Garden of Eden, Adam blamed his wife. Did he not? We read it three times already. When it all came down, what did Adam do? He blamed his wife and he said, the woman you put here with me, she gave me some fruit from the tree and I ate it. That's Genesis 3 and 12. And you know what? Eve didn't do any better, because Eve played the blame game too. You know what Eve said? He said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. Excuses. My mama used to say, excuses like a butt. Everybody got one. What's your excuse today? I've been here 4 years, so the honeymoon's over, Orange Chapel. It's time to stop playing church. Sometime you're going to leave here, you're going to be mad at me, because I got to tell you what God said. And if we don't start adhering to this word of God, we're going to lead ourselves into destruction. Eve didn't do any better. She said, the serpent deceived me and I ate. My brothers and sisters, I was reminded a few weeks ago that I was sitting in my office, and it, when I began to work on this sermon, I remember something. Not only did when I saw Humpty Dumpty was pushed, did that start dealing with me, but I also remember when I was sitting in my office when all those people were killed, those 26 innocent people were killed in that shooting in Connecticut, right? Y'all remember that? And a lady came to my office. One of my coworkers came to my office, and she said, Shannon, you're a preacher. Why did God do it? And you know what my response to her was? God didn't do it. A young man with some serious issues did it. A young man that had some problems did it. God didn't do it. He did it. People want to shift blame on other people. Adam and Eve started this blame game, and guess what? Some of us are still keeping the blame game up. I can't do this. I can't go. I can't be this because, you know, my daddy. Oh, but you know, my mama, she, my parents, they won't trust. And I, you born again. You are born again, so you don't belong to them anyway. I can't blame Ray for my shortcomings. I'm a grown man now. I can't blame Sister McGuire for my shortcomings. I'm a grown man now. Oh, hallelujah, somebody. Oh, this is good. This is good. But God didn't kill those children. That crazy boy did. My brothers and sisters, I deal with people, with criminals, and very few criminals admit their guilt. Right? We got some criminals in here. Y'all know y'all lied under oath on the witness stand. Many insist that they are framed. Everybody, they set me up. Y'all, is that familiar? And the real culprit, the real man got away. They set me up. I'm the scapegoat. But y'all remember Al Capone? Everybody that keeps up with gangsters and mafia and all those people. Al Capone, when he got caught, y'all know what Al Capone said? And I found this quote to be very interesting. Al Capone said, "I have spent the best years of my life giving people the lighter pleasures, helping them have a good time, and all I get is abuse, the existence of a haunted man." Al Capone, with all the people and all the hits that he put out on people, Al Capone turns into the victim and said, "I can't believe y'all doing me like this." People want to shift blame on other folks. Excuses usually only satisfy the people who make them. Excuses, and we're going to talk about what an excuse is. Excuses usually only satisfy the people who make them. Yet for many, making excuses is a way of life as common as taking a breath or going to sleep at night. We are a nation of excuse makers. How many excuses have you come up with, like to not come to church sometime? Carlita, it's good to see you this morning because you had a birthday this weekend and I didn't look for you this morning. But look at God. I got to give you flowers while you yet live, because a whole lot of folks have a birthday. We're not going to see them because they're going to be trying to take aspirin and all that stuff. But we live in a society that's full of excuse makers, and people make excuses all the time. Right now, you know, our basketball team in Roxton is doing really well, and we're beating people really bad. And people are trying to make up all these, they're running up the score. Well, you know what? Stop making excuses and get better. I told a coach that Friday night. Don't get mad at us because we're good. It's not our fault. Get better. Amen? Excuses. Well, we play football. So what? We don't play football. Get better in basketball if you're going to play us. Amen? This is what the dictionary says about, what the word excuse means. It says to regard or judge with indulgence, to pardon or forgive his actions, to excuse. And that's to excuse someone. Amen? There's a difference between a reason and an excuse. Are y'all going to pray with me? Reasons, for the most part, are real and sincere. Did y'all catch that? A reason. Well, the reason why I wore a jacket is because it's cold outside. Does that make sense? All right. But an excuse is a weak reason at best. And at worst, it's a lie. I know. Okay, y'all want me to say that again so you write it down? An excuse is a weak reason at best, and at worst, it's a lie. When Adam and Eve passed blame for their actions, they were making an excuse in Genesis chapter 3. When they passed blame, they were making an excuse. The reason why I ate is because the serpent. Wait a minute. No, I ate because that woman. You know, you gave me that woman, and she, God, man, you, man, she looked good, she fine, man, and she had that album, man, or whatever, you know, and she gave it to me. Come on, God, man. And wait, God, no, it was the serpent. It was a serpent. He deceived me. That's what she said. Poor me. Oh, I was just out here in the garden. And the serpent, he came and he tricked me. An excuse. The Bible says, and sin entered into man by entered to us by one man, Adam. Y'all see where he missed the mark right here? I'm gonna give y'all some Shannonology in a minute, because there's something that I believe about this. There's something I really, truly believe about this. The excuse were Genesis chapter 12, chapter 3, verses 12 and chapter 3, and verse 13. 12 and 13, chapter 3, were the excuse, right? But look at the real reason. Y'all want to know the real reason why Eve did what she did, Adam did what he did? Look at Genesis chapter 3 and verse 6. Look up at verse 6. This is the real reason. God can deal with your reason a whole lot better than he can deal with your excuse. Woo-wee! Hallelujah, somebody. Yeah, I knew it was going to be quiet today. When the woman, this is what the NIV version says. It says, when the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. Did y'all see that? It looked good. And also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some of and ate it. She also gave some to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Did y'all see that? That was the excuse. And then here's the real reason. Now, after they ate, we serve a forgiving God. We do, don't we? You know what I think really upset God at Adam and Eve? Is the excuse and the lie. He knew what they did and why they did it. It was written before they even messed up. I believe that if they had just been honest and said, God, man, that apple, I ate it, it looked good, and I thought I would know more than I thought I would gain wisdom. That's why I ate it, God. I'm sorry. But immediately, my brothers and sisters, what the Bible says, that immediately they knew they were naked. And they messed up. The excuse made them go hide. The reason wasn't as bad as the excuse. Stop playing the blame game, church. Pastor McGuire, he's just not meeting my spiritual needs. I just, you know, he talks that slang and, you know, just young. Don't use an excuse. Go somewhere else. Don't blame me. I'm giving what God told me to. I'm doing what God told me to do. Amen. When she saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye. Y'all, we got to be careful what we're looking at. We got to be careful what we look at. Because I heard Pastor Franklin preach a sermon on this, and he said it all started with a look. And when she looked, after she looked, she took. How many of us has it started with a look? You look, and then you took. Woo, I know. It's hot. It's hot in here. Must be the Holy Ghost in the atmosphere. Each of us recall excuses that we made, but excuse making is a fatal habit, y'all. Excuse making is a fatal habit. What if every Sunday I'm late? Well, what happened was, you know, traffic was bad. I'm coming from Roxton, really? Well, my car broke down. And after a while, y'all gonna be like, you know what? This man has a problem. He can't get here on time. Excuses. It's a fatal habit, guaranteed to be detrimental to us and to our relationships. See, Adam and Eve's mistake not only affected them, but it affected the whole family. Then you have kids and one kill the other. And then guess what? I'm messed up because Adam messed up. See how that started with a look you took, you gave, you received, and then we all cursed because of it. What we do, my brothers and sisters, affects people down the road. Amen? Come on, church. So, there's somebody that wants to be just like you, whoever you are. Amen? Making excuses? All right, we got escorts around here. Making excuses drains us of self-confidence. You know what? When you make excuses all the time, you lose all self-confidence. You lose self-confidence. An excuse-making person, it hurts you as much as it hurts the people you making these lame excuses to. You let that set in for a minute. Big Mama, you say, hold your nose and swallow it. It's good for you. And what making excuses does is it also fosters doubt and discouragement in those people around us. But y'all get tired of people making what it was, man. What it was. Back when I was in college, and I always tell y'all these college stories, somebody said that Humpty fell because he was scared, didn't he? I had a homeboy. We used to go to the club all the time. Be just keeping it real, Lawrence Chapel. Y'all's pastor went to the club a few times when he was in college. Thank you, Sister Roberta. She said, so? That's my girl right there. That's why we going to dance Saturday night. But I had a homeboy, and I hope he don't listen to this, but I'm finna put him on blast. But I had a buddy. We called him Grip. His name was Paul. Paul was this tall, big and black, and just huge. And when we would go out or whatever, the college I went to was called Wayland. And there was about 15 colleges within about 50 miles. So everybody used to kick it in Lubbock. Y'all with me? Don't say amen when I'm talking about clubs, though, okay? You don't witness to that. Well, we would get into fights all the time. Because we would always roll about 15 deep. We'd take about 3 carloads. And we'd just big and smushed in the car. And every time we get into a scuffle with Brother Ricks, Big Paul, you would think, big as he was, he looked rough. Say, dog, we be headed home, knots on our head, lips busting, jewelry broke. Oh, say, player, man. Dog, man, I was trying to get over there, man, and I couldn't get through the crowd. Very next week, I got to make this urban because some of these brothers in here understand where I'm trying to get with this excuse. Somebody said Humpty was scared. The next week, we get into with the dudes from the east side in Lubbock. We go, We get outside Paul in the car. Come on, man. Come on, man. Dude, you were one of the biggest guys in here. But what we figured out about Paul is he was a lot smarter than the rest of us, really. But Paul always had an excuse. And after a while, you know what? We didn't even depend on Paul if something jumped off. My brothers and sisters, when you always have some lame excuse of why you're not defending or helping, amen, when you always have an excuse of why you can't come to church and all that stuff, you know what? People stop depending on you. Men, when you have an excuse of why you can't get a job, come on, hallelujah, somebody. When you won't get out there and get on the grind for yourself, well, my old knee's bad. Those men worked so hard back in the day that the life expectancy was only in their mid-40s. They only lived to be 40 because they worked so hard. What's your excuse with all the modern medicine and everything that we have today? The excuses, it destroys everybody around you so soon. We wouldn't even depend on Paul no more. If we thought someone was going to jump off, we didn't even take him with us. One dude said, man, next time we get in something and you don't help, we're going to jump on you. But I'm trying to help. Y'all, did it help somebody? I just had to take it that way because we got some thugs in here. They know what I'm talking about. Talking about excuses. I I found something on the internet. Pastor got some internet stuff in his sermon. Sure do. Yep. And the Lord told me I could use it. Y'all ready for this internet stuff? I found this on the internet. And there was a church that wrote an essay, and it was called No Excuse Sunday. Deacon Smith, you know what we need to have around here is a No Excuse Sunday. And this is what the essay said. It says, cots will be placed in the foyer for those who say, Sunday is my only day to sleep in. We have steel helmets for those who say the roof would cave in if I ever came to church. Blankets will be furnished for those who think church is too cold. Fans for those who say it's too hot. We will have hearing aids for those who say the preacher speaks too softly. But we'll also have cotton balls for those who say he preaches too loud. We'll have scorecards. The scorecards will be available for those who wish to list all the hypocrites present. Some relatives will be in attendance. Linda Bill, good to see y'all. For those who like to go visiting on Sundays. There will be TV dinners for those who can't go to church and cook dinner at the same time. One section will be devoted to trees and grass for those who like to see God in nature. Finally, the sanctuary will be decorated with Christmas poinsettias and Easter lilies for those who have never seen the church without them. Hey, God, all right? Come on, Tony. No excuse Sunday. Can we try that? Y'all, people have so many excuses of why they did this or why they do. You know, I drink because my granddaddy was an alcoholic and my daddy was an alcoholic. I believe in generational curses, but I also believe in generational blessings too. Amen? Y'all better pray with me today. The first step to overcoming excuse making is to acknowledge that we need help. See, Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. Each of us is a fallen creature. Are y'all going to pray with me? As I accept responsibility for my failures and accept God's forgiveness for them, hallelujah, y'all, I'm ready to correct my problems and move forward instead of making up excuses all the time. Amen? When we are ready to make our next excuse, the next time you're ready to make your next excuse, some of y'all got some good ones. I know. I want y'all to remember this old spiritual. And I sang that song this morning because I wanted, you know, to kind of go back a little bit. I want y'all to remember this old spiritual that said, not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. Oh, can I say that one more time? Y'all gonna pray with me? See, all of us, my brothers and sisters, are standing in the need of prayer. Some of us want to point over to the next person in the pew and say, well, I don't go to church, or I'm not going to church because of this person or that person, or I don't participate because of this or that. But God has given all of us the ability to do something on his program. It's not my brother, not my sister, but it's me, oh Lord, standing in the need of prayer. If y'all don't mind, I know that some of y'all might struggle with me hanging out in the Old Testament today. But can I move over a few pages to the Old Testament, to the New Testament? Around Luke, verse chapter 23. Y'all remember when Jesus had been sentenced to that old rugged cross? Are y'all gonna pray with me? Hallelujah. My Jesus had been beaten. My Jesus had been talked about.
My Jesus had been spit on. Hallelujah. The bloodthirsty crowd had screamed, crucify him. Do y'all know what I'm talking about this morning? Ain't God all right? Somebody said that they nailed both his hands. Are y'all gonna pray with me? The word tells us they nailed him all the way in his feet. Ain't God all right? Somebody told me that they even pierced him in his side. Ain't God all right? Hallelujah. But when they lifted him up between two thieves, can I talk about the crooks that hung with my Savior, my Lord? Are y'all gonna pray with me? There was one thief that began to laugh at Jesus and said, if you are who you say you are, why don't you save yourself and save us too? Ain't God all right? He was laughing at Jesus. He was making fun of Jesus. But there was another thief on that other side that didn't have no excuses. Are y'all gonna pray with me? He told that one thief, he said, you need to leave that man alone. You and I are here because of our lifestyles. You and I are here because we're guilty as charged. Are y'all gonna pray with me? I believe that the thief that was honest about his position, the thief that was honest about what he had done, that thief that had no excuse, that knew he deserved the debt that he was about to receive. Are y'all gonna pray with me? Ain't God all right? Nobody pushed him, just like nobody pushed Humpty Dumpty. He put himself in that position. But you know what he did? He stood up like a man, and he accepted what was going on in his life. But there's one thing that he did that the other one didn't do. He acknowledged who Jesus Christ was. He said, Jesus, I know you are who you say you are. Will you save me a place in your kingdom? He never wavered on it. He never questioned it. He never even asked Jesus who he really was. All he did on that old rugged cross, my brothers and sisters, all he did was believe. It's time out for excuses. Ain't God all right? It's time out for lying. Come on, y'all might as well pray with me. It's time out for playing with God. Hallelujah. Play time is over. Excuse time is over. Ain't God all right? I'm so glad that Jesus died for my sins and for yours. That gives me a reason to lift my hands. That gives me a right, hallelujah, to heaven. Ain't y'all happy this morning? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It's time out for excuses. We've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All we need to do is fix it up with Jesus. Are y'all gonna pray with me? That thief didn't talk to nobody else. You ain't gotta tell me. You don't have to tell your friends. You don't have to tell your family. That's the problem with all the excuse making. You're telling too many other folks. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them right there. Jesus will fix it. Jesus can fix your life. Jesus can fix your family. Jesus can fix your addiction. Jesus can fix everything about you. Ain't God all right? Everything I need, God's got. Are y'all gonna pray with me? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give me a reason, my brothers and sisters. Give me a reason, not an excuse. He said, I am what I am. I did what I did. And Jesus told him, this day you'll be with me in paradise. Quit lying to people because lies hurt folks. Quit lying to yourself because lies to yourself hurts you. Let it be real. Whatever you do for Jesus, let it be real. If you're going to stand on the door and be an usher, let it be real. If you're going to sing for him, let it be real. Whatever you do for Jesus, let it be real. If you messed up, you know what? You just messed up. If you made a mistake, you just made a mistake. And you know what? We can get over it a whole lot faster if we just be honest about it. DQ, I was hungry and I stole your wallet and I spent your money. I'm sorry. So he beat me up or whatever you need to do. I did it. I'm guilty. And we work something out, brother. Because I don't want to fight you. I love you, but I did wrong. What's wrong with that? But what happened was, DQ, nobody wants to hear that. God don't want to hear that either. Your wife don't want to hear that. Your husband don't want to hear that. Stop making up excuses, church. Amen? Humpty Dumpty was pushed. No, he wasn't. He didn't have no business on that wall.